Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Throws the baseball in a way and it just does a little something different kind of each time, and that is hard for hitters.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Friedel is out on strikes. Strikeout for Justin Steele.
Swing and a miss on a sharp slider. That's out number one. That's in that unhittable category. To a right-handed batter, it comes in, lands near your right feet or right foot. And the ball bounced in the dirt. Amaya blocked it, kept it in front of him, and just casually walked over and tagged Wynn for out number one. It swung and a miss, strike three. A high fastball got him. White Sox don't score.
1-2, check swing and a miss, strike three. Got him with the slider, one away.
Strike three called. Steele strikes out Michael A. Taylor, his first strikeout of the game.
Joe waits, a long set by Steele and the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. Got him with a slider. Cruz stranded at first.
A lot of sliders in there, it sounds like. Justin Steele is on Twitter at J_Steele21. The Cubs left-hander and 2023 All-Star is here with us at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
I think Dan's excited because he wants to talk fishing with you. I just want to go straight to the source on the update. Where are you at? I know you're fighting back and getting ready to come off the injured list, rejoin the team. But do you know when you're pitching?
It's going to be here pretty soon. I'm sure council will be breaking something here soon. But, yeah, it'll be here in the next few days or whatnot. But, yeah, feeling good. Bullpens have been going well, you know, throwing without feeling anything. That's the main thing. So it's very mentally freeing just being able to go out there and play catch and not feel anything.
When you talk about mentally freeing, what's that process like when you know something isn't quite right to knowing, okay, this is what's wrong, I can deal with this now?
Yeah, I mean, every MLB player, you know, if you play 162, you go through ups and downs, fatigue and different things. So everybody always says every player is playing with a little something. I was kind of just, managing some elbow tightness and whatnot, kind of worked my way through it, and it just kind of got to a point where it's like, let's just find out what's in there. And we got some good news when the MRI, we did the proper modalities and whatnot, and, yeah, it got me back really quick.
I remember talking to David Ross a couple of years ago, and we were talking about your four-seamer, and I said, well, I've heard it described so many different ways, and I watch it from the center field camera where you can really see how hitters get a weird reaction to it. And he said, well, a scout would probably call it a cutter, but it's not a traditional cutter. It's because you throw it with four seams.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a baseball here.
Yeah.
I've been dying to know how you grip it. So that is a classic straight four seam grip.
Yes. And I would say what makes me really good at supinating, getting on this side of the ball to make it go into the righty, is this: I have a pretty stiff wrist when I'm throwing through, coming through my motion. So instead of like being flimsy, laying back, mm-hmm. creating like that natural like arm side movement, my wrist is pretty locked, and it just comes through that way. That's kind of why I'm good at making the ball go that way with my slider, my four seam, and everything else. And then, from that, it's just my development side's kind of been learning to make the ball go the other way with my sinker and my changeup, implementing the curveball, doing different things to create more carry with the four seam, just, fine-tuning everything.
Was that a pitch lab effort where you got the data and you're sitting with analysts who are saying, wow, okay. Is it something you did naturally that they noticed, or did they say, try that with a tighter, firmer wrist?
It was something I did naturally, but didn't know what it was or how to quantify it until I started throwing with technology and whatnot. And, you do different things, you feel different things, and then having the data like right behind you as soon as you throw the pitch, you kind of are able to put one and two together to see how the result's coming about. So it's like, when I do this, this happens. When I do this, this happens, kind of deal.
When you look at technology and what you've learned about it from the time growing up, maybe playing Little League, to now, how much has that changed pitching in general, but for you and your path and kind of how you've become the guy that you've become on the mound?
Technology has changed the game in so many different ways. And, for me, what I was just saying, it kind of just reaffirmed and made me sure of, like, what made me good. And I was able to just, kind of lean into what made me good, getting that four in on the righties with the cut. And then, this year I've really been implementing the sinker into the lefties, get them off the other side of the plate, and then just mixing the slider and the breaking balls off of that. So, it's helped me tremendously just, figuring out exactly who I am and what makes me good.
Do you feel like the technology has helped pitchers more in general or hitters?
Yes. I think it's helped pitchers lot more. I think it definitely helps hitters as well, as far as like figuring out their swing, how they swing, when they swing a certain way, how the ball flies off their bat and stuff. There's so much technology that hitters use as well.
Now, I don't want to get too wonky on this, but if you're able to supinate naturally that strongly, the opposite effect would be a pronation
which is sinkers and changeups. Like, so people that pronate really well, those sinkers and changeups, like, very well. Kyle Hendricks, for instance, mm-hmm. is a very, very, one of the elite pronators in the league, and that's why he's been able to have such a long career throwing sinkers, changeups, and mixing it.
So show me the sinker grip
right there, just like a traditional sinker.
Traditional sinker, so then that you're going to release.
So with the sinker, we've done a lot of different ways. I've held it like straight up, tilted, and we've kind of landed on this one seam orientation because, like I said, I have a stiff wrist,
mm-hmm.
and it'll come out like it is going this way, like my four, and then it'll just like catch a seam and kind of go the other way.
Now, is that a seam shift?
Unless I'm in Colorado.
Really? But it's that noticeable?
Oh God, when I'm in Colorado, it just keeps going that way.
Wow.
It's crazy.
So you're okay with missing that particular series, perhaps?
I've pitched there before. It was a grind, but I made it through it.
How about Hendricks out there?
Yeah, I
didn't see that coming. You talk about somebody who does rely on a lot of
that
stuff.
He's throwing fastballs up.
Yep.
Sinkers up.
He was Shota. Shota Hendricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship like with Shota Imanaga?
It's awesome. Talk to him every day. I love talking pitching with him. I love watching his bullpens. He loves watching ours. Super smart, just picking up English right away, like hardly needs his translator. It's a lot of fun watching him.
So he's at the point now where he's doesn't really even, for you to have a conversation with him, you can get by without the translator.
Yeah, if we're talking baseball stuff at the field, like, he hardly needs his translator. He's gotten to a point where he knows all the key words and everything. If we're talking about, fishing or something, like, I'll get the translator. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you brought up fishing. And I, because it is huge in Japan, but I think every single piece of equipment I have is either Okuma, Daiwa. I mean, it's all even the hooks I'm using, I think, are Japanese. So a couple years ago, you took your teammates into the Gulf for tuna.
Yeah, this past all season.
Now, do they know going into it? Because I know tuna fishing is torture.
No, it's awesome.
Okay. I've always said this. This is a derivation of what Dorothy Parker used to say about writing. I love having caught a tuna.
Yeah.
I hate catching one. If you're going to tell me, what are you going to do? You're going to crank a handle as hard as you can as something immensely strong that's on the bottom of the ocean that does not want to come up from the bottom of the ocean is going to spend its life, whatever it has remaining in its life, going in smaller and smaller concentric circles until you can bring it up.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
How is that fun?
He's strong, you're not.
It's exciting.
It is exciting, but it hurts.
Everyone's yelling on the boat, like, get it in. And when we were doing it, there in the Gulf, we have like an overpopulation of sharks. So there's like sharks chasing the tuna. It's like action. It's like, you got to get that thing in the boat.
But so everybody was taking turns cranking on it?
So with the amount of sharks that are chasing your fish, and this is like a 150-pound tuna, so that's a lot of meat. You know, a lot of money on the end of that. So, like, you want that. You don't want a shark to take half of it. So, like, I'm going for probably 3 to 5 minutes as fast as I can, you know, as hard as I can. And then I hand it to Abbott. He's doing the same thing. Nico, same thing. Strength coach Keegan, same thing. And then we get in the boat. You know, we're slapping hands, celebrating. Like, everyone's fired up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 5 minutes later, it's happening again. It's, like, it's awesome.
So, it's team building, basically, on the water.
Yeah. Now, and then we stayed on a boat that was literally a houseboat. It was on the water. And our boat picked us up at like 5:30 in the morning, just pulled up right up to the houseboat, went fishing for 6 hours, caught as many fish as we could. We literally filled the ice chest up. And then we came back and watched football all day.
His version just sounds better than whatever your version was going to be.
My experience with tuna is just like we finally got one in. It was probably like 50 pounds. This was in the Sea of Cortez off of Cabo. Because they're a little smaller there. And then all of a sudden, I heard the tick, tick, zzzz. I'm like, oh, we got to do this again? Like, I was barely recovered.
The fact that you're dreading it, and he's explaining it in a completely different
way. But there are only three of us, and it was, you know, my and son and my nephew.
Okay, yeah.
And so I didn't have professional athletes helping me out.
That also explains it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty true. Out of all the fishing that you've done, like, do you remember when you fell in love with fishing?
Oh, yeah. I was probably 10 or 11 years old. It was spring break. I remember it was a cold spring break in Mississippi. And I went to my Mimi's. My grandpa has, like, 7 ponds on his land, a bunch of land, 7 ponds on it, and, you know, a bunch of fish and whatnot. And I was just out there fishing by myself. Didn't catch anything all day. I was out there 2 or 3 hours. And my Mimi's at the top of the hill watching me. And I, you know, hooked this big fish. And I just started fishing, didn't know how to maneuver this reel or anything. And it's taking my line out, and I don't know what to do. So I just grab the line and the reel, and I just start running backwards. And I'm just
like tug of war.
Yeah, I'm just tugging this huge, and I know it's huge. I saw it jump out of the water, so I'm really excited. And I just start running backwards, and I'm looking back, and the fish is like, I'm literally dragging this fish out of the water. And it gets about where like half of it is sticking out of the water, and half of it's not. My hook came flying by me. So, like, it's, like, in the mud, like, tired, like, trying to, like, get back in the water.
Is it a bass?
Yeah. It's an 8.5-pound bass.
So that's a fish of a lifetime.
Yes. How much did you weigh at that time?
I have a picture of it. I mean, it's literally the size of my torso.
Okay.
So, anyways, the hook comes flying by me. I turn around, and I see it, like, squirming, trying to get back. I full sprint, belly flop, right on top of this bass. Grab it like this, and I just chunk it up onto the land.
That's right.
And I just start yelling. I'm like, let's go! I'm just like yelling at this fish. My Mimi is watching at the top of the hill, like, what is going on?
My man.
I love that.
Made the local newspaper.
I see. What was the local newspaper?
George County Times.
Okay, I love this. I love this. One of the reasons I was excited about having you on is because, you know, it's always nice to be on air with someone who also knows how to pronounce Biloxi.
Yeah,
you know,
Biloxi.
Everybody can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, but I know all the – I went to school in Mississippi State. I know all about all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I asked you about how old you were when you fell in love with fishing, because I want to know also how old were you when you fell in love with baseball?
Yeah, so I have a brother that's 5 years older than me, and he was, you know, playing baseball from the time I was born. So I, like, grew up following him around to travel ball tournaments and stuff. So, I mean, I really don't know, probably 3 years old, two, three, and I started playing when I was four. I was in T-ball.
So as long as you can remember baseball.
Yeah, I was always at a baseball field following my brother around and stuff.
How long did he play? How high did he go?
He played college level. He got to Southern Miss. He got to Southern Miss, and then that was it.
Wow. Well, so it's got to be pretty – I mean, people don't realize, as old baseball runs in the family, but to then – when did you – let's go back to what Ian Happ said about the Joe Madden stages of being a baseball player.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
You wrote them down?
You know about the five levels?
Yeah,
okay,
I've heard this
so,
before.
You know, happy to be here. I got to prove I belong. I belong. I want to get paid, and then I want to win. So what was your question?
I was just going to ask, like, when did you know you belonged?
That's a good question. When I made my debut, I kind of had a moment where I was like, okay, I can pitch at this level. I can do this. You know, I got through my first outing clean. That was kind of a moment of like, this is possible. I can do this and whatnot. And then I had a big moment later that year against the Dodgers where I came in. It was like, you know, we were thin in the bullpen going into this game. Wouldn't be necessarily a situation I would normally pitch in, but we got into the ninth inning. It was a tied ball game still. I don't know if it might have been extras and there was a runner on second already or something, but I came in and got out of the situation, struck the last guy out, and I remember coming off the mound like I'm able to, you know, get big outs when I want to and stuff, and that was kind of a good moment.
It's remarkable to hear someone in their own words kind of describing that journey, whether it's personal stuff, whether it's professionally. Being where you are now and knowing what the expectations were for this season, how do you feel about the season in totality? I know it's not over yet, but just kind of where you are, you're obviously not out of it, but mm-hmm. it's an uphill climb.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the quality of my season, I feel really good about the quality. I feel like I made improvements from last year, kind of what I was saying, you know, mixing the changeup in more, the sinker in more, just becoming more of a complete pitcher overall and stuff. So I'm really proud of myself as far as that stuff goes. You know, I've kind of had some bad luck as far as injuries go, opening day with a hamstring and whatnot, and then, you know, having the elbow flare up and whatnot. So just kind of, you know, battling those things during season and, you know, trying to come back at, you know, in a fast manner to help the team and whatnot. That's definitely been challenging, but I think it's something that'll just make me better in the long run.
All right, more importantly, the 8.5-pound bass, you said your hook came flying by you. If I had to guess what you were using, return Mississippi, my guess is
spring break, but it was cold, choppy water.
Yeah, but you're a kid, though, yeah. So it's not going to be anything too cold. My guess is a Texas rigged plastic.
It was a spinning reel.
But it's just
a spinner,
a little like a Meps.
It was a white like spinning reel with the like things on the back.
Oh,
of
a
it.
Spin bait. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And okay.
And it gets on top of the water and like, twirls the top of the water.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, because that's a good eat too. Because then you see it get grabbed.
Well, yeah, that's how I knew it was big because I literally saw it and I was like, it's on.
Oh, you see, so that. People don't understand when I had to explain that I had to walk in the pond up to my waist because that got hung up on a lily pad.
Oh, no.
And stuck about 10 feet offshore. And I'm like, well, I'm going in. And it was absolutely worth it.
Oh, no.
Because you don't get them around here. I walked into the water up to my waist. And I went out for the entire day by myself. That was the second cast of the day, so I had another 8 hours of fishing with my entire lower body completely soaked, shoes soaked, everything.
That's a good experience.
Did not care.
That's what it's about.
It was already a good day at that point.
See, I've been fishing, but not to the level that you guys are talking about right now. And it's great to hear.
Yeah, kind of tagged one.
But I wish I could relate better to what you were explaining and share the moment that you're sharing.
Well, right see, now. At some point we're gonna see right here. See this big lake right here. I know people like to take the boats out there and catch all the the salmon.
Wait, what big lake are you talking about?
It's rumored to be there's a big lake here that kind of affects the way the ball flies here.
Yep.
And just walking the shoreline, you have no idea how incredible the fishing is in this city, if you know what you're doing.
Really?
Incredible.
I've never fished in this lake.
You, at all? Not even on a charter? Oh, come on.
I really don't do much freshwater fishing anymore.
Well,
that was like the thing, like I said, when I fell in love with fishing, I kind of like wore out bass fishing.
Felt like you conquered bass fishing.
You conquered largemouth bass fishing.
Yeah, I haven't caught a smallmouth.
Okay, because I would rather catch a 3-pound smallmouth than a 5-pound largemouth.
Okay,
it is a different experience.
Okay,
they are made of sterner stuff. Let's want to talk some football. When we come back.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk some football with Justin Steele. We're going to do that when we come back to Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. This show brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve, and Phillips Chevrolet. You have Sports Radio 670, the Bernstein and Holmes Show on the.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Score.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
That was the walleye tournament in Ohio.
Yeah, I've seen that video.
Wow. They chased the idiot back to his car. He's sitting there locked in his car. They put actual massive weights.
That probably happened in Mississippi.
Oh, I bet. It's so stupid. Justin Steele is our guest here at the Bernstein and Holmes Show. We have been talking a little baseball, talking some fishing, talking about pitch grips and physics and pitch lab and all of that. But I think the most important thing this time of year for a lot of us is sitting on the couch and, like you say, putting red zone on and letting it all wash over you.
I agree. Saints had a big one the other day against the Cowboys. It's good to be a Saints fan right now.
Now, wait, were you surprised at the result? I know you're saying, I think we can win this game. That's one thing.
I didn't think the offense would look that way. I knew the defense would be really good again this year. We added Kool-Aid McKinstry through the draft, Alabama guy. I was really excited for him to be on the team. So I knew the defense was going to be for real this year. I had faith that we would be able to maintain CeeDee Lamb. He still had that one big play. But, I felt good about it. I didn't see the offense doing that.
Well, Alvin Kamara, apparently he's still good. You just have to know how to use him.
Good football player.
Yeah, giving him the ball actually helps your team.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
A good football player. The new offensive coordinator, Kubiak, I believe.
Clint Kubiak.
Yeah. It's really interesting just seeing the offense click and run the way it's running right now. It's almost like the defenses don't have any film or anything to go off of when they're playing the Saints. You know, everything that they've done in years past is completely different from what they're doing this year. And it's just going to be interesting to see over the next few weeks what adjustments the defenses do make for them, because, I mean, they're scoring at an unbelievable clip. There hasn't been a drive yet that they haven't scored on. And I think they scored like 6 touchdowns against Dallas.
Well, the Bears have one.
Yeah, there's that.
They're working on it.
Yeah, there's that.
Khalil
Herbert, right? Yeah.
How do you like being in that transplant situation where you know this entire city is rooting for this team and you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm a Saints fan? Do people give you a hard time?
Well, I'm a big football fan, and I like to think I know what I'm watching, know what I'm talking about. My dad played football, so I was always watching football growing up and stuff. But I watch every single NFL game, so I'm very tapped in with the Bears and whatnot, so I'm a fan.
So based on that, you just said you tapped in with the Bears. Give us your analysis of what you've seen weeks 1 and 2 with a team that, as you mentioned, you know who scored the only touchdown, so it's easy to remember who did that.
Not a coach, but 37 dropbacks, 36 pressures isn't good. That's not a recipe for
get him a regular spot every week.
I'm just letting him cook.
Yeah, I mean, just numbers.
So do you think the Bears can fix that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a addition thing that you try and fix it that way, or if it's a different kind of coaching style with the offensive line. I mean, like I said, I'm not a coach. I don't know how you would tackle a situation.
You just
like
recognize
that
the problem exists.
Yes, yeah. I just watch the games and, you know, observe.
Do you watch baseball with as much joy?
I play baseball with that.
I didn't ask that.
I really, the only baseball games I watch is the Cubs. I go to the field every day. I watch a baseball game every day. So I'm very locked in on that and stuff. So when I go home, I'm not really watching baseball.
People don't understand how common that is.
Yeah, it's very common.
It's so common because that's your job.
Yeah, there's also guys who just love it, and as soon as they leave the field, they go home and watch baseball too. But I mean,
but I've long believed baseball was my first love as far as sports goes. I mean, I think it's that way for a lot of people who grow up playing baseball.
Yeah.
As an ambassador right now for the game, what would you say baseball can do differently to maybe make itself more marketable / appointment viewing? There was a time when Sunday night baseball was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a thing, but it's not a thing like it used to be. What would you say as someone growing up playing baseball and obviously watching all kinds of sports, but then baseball is now your job, to make it more appealing to the masses?
I remember growing up, what made me love baseball and enjoy playing it so much was just the joy of being with my friends playing a baseball game together, you know, the rec leagues, the league ball, and then going to travel ball at that point. It wasn't necessarily watching baseball. It was the joy of playing it. So, I mean, if I had to answer this question, I would just say put more emphasis on the joy of playing baseball when you're younger, and then translate that into the, travel ball middle school, high school level, and then work from the ground up that way. Just because, like, I feel like right now, I have a nephew that's in travel ball right now, and he's 10 years old. I think around that age is when I started getting into it as well. It's like he's every weekend travel ball. It's almost like, you know,
it
can become too much at times, you know, just the way they're...
Ask the parents what they're paying for that.
Yeah, I know. My brother's going through it right now, and it's just like...
This is the brother you followed around?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So for me, I would just say maybe put more emphasis on just the joy and the fun aspect instead of, like, the whole, like... thing of like travel ball. It's like a, you know, whole production.
It's a culture. And a lot of people talk about like the AAU basketball and the travel baseball in the same kind of tone. You know, used to you could just play whatever sport was in season and there was value to that. Now it's like, well, if you want to be good and you want to make it at this level, you've got to play year round.
Yeah.
I think that some of these ranking systems like Perfect Game, when you've got 9-year-olds with their 60 times on there and their exit velos and measuring the velocity of throws from short for children, it makes me heartsick. And we had a conversation on this show with Tim Corbin, who's the head coach of Vanderbilt baseball. He was fantastic talking about this very subject. And he just said, the best time you have playing baseball as a kid is when your parents aren't there. And he said, if we could find that way of like, there's no parents here. There were generations of kids
playing sandlot
that were
baseball.
Unsupervised that would choose upsides and play baseball and really develop that love for it. It's so hard to do with a bunch of nervous dads, all of us working through our own insecurities and working through our own anxieties through these poor children.
It's paying for lessons and you're taking your son to these lessons and like you're watching this guy work with your son like intensely and the kid's like nervous. He's like, am I pleasing my dad? Am I pleasing this guy? Like, am I doing it? Like, that's kind of where I'm getting at with that stuff. Like, it just have fun.
Was that ever a problem with you or your brother, or do you feel like your dad just kind of like let you guys do?
Yeah, my dad, he coached us and stuff, but he was a football guy, so he didn't...
So it was like, almost secondary?
Yeah, like, baseball was, like, his secondary knowledge and stuff, so, like, he coached us and, like, taught us how to, you know, compete, play hard and everything, but when it came to, like, my swing and how I threw and stuff, he just let me go.
For how long did you play football?
I didn't play football. I had really bad migraines growing up as a kid, so, like, I was never even able to, like, get into it, but I definitely would have. Football was definitely something I loved.
It's kind of a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, physically, especially with all the concussions you see going on now. It's wouldn't have been good with me and my migraines.
When you see, and this is the way I describe baseball versus football, like, I love to watch football, like, at home. Mm-hmm. I love to go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way? I mean, it's different because you're playing now, but...
I love going to a Saints game. I'll say this. The coolest sporting event I've ever been to is a UFC event, and it was in Vegas. Okay. I went and watched Adesanya versus Romero. It was actually right before COVID hit. It was spring training was going on. We were in Arizona. We had a exhibition game against the Athletics in Vegas, so we like went for the weekend just to do that. There was a fight going on, so I like bought a ticket, went to it. By far the coolest sporting event.
What made it so cool?
The fact that like there's obviously tons of people in there, packed out arena. There's seats that are like stage level, so like you're looking through the cage watching this fight. I was like the first row that started going up, so like I was looking right into the cage, and it's just so cool how everything goes dark. The only thing you can see is the cage, and it's dead silent. Like you can hear the canvas, you can hear their feet, the punches, and like when you would hear a punch connect and like somebody fall down, like the energy that would go throughout that building, it was like no other sporting event I've ever been to.
Well, it's ancient. I mean, you realize that human beings
have been doing that a long time.
attending combat sports and what you're saying for thousands of years now.
Yeah, it was, like I said, by far the most entertaining, like, cool sporting event I've ever been to. And I've been to Saints games. I've been to games in Arizona. I've been to the SEC championship game, LSU versus Georgia in Atlanta. I've been to a lot of sporting events, but that one takes the cake.
Have you been to UFC fights since?
I haven't. I actually haven't. I haven't had a ton of time to. Hopefully this offseason I can schedule one.
I guess how much free time do you have? Because there's this idea that because you're not a position player, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, once every 5 days, oh, yeah, he throws a bullpen. That's all he does.
I do have a good amount of free time in the off season. I usually go football games. I go golfing, spend time with my family, traveling to Mississippi, Connecticut, see my wife's family. So we do a lot of traveling. So I really don't have a ton of free time. And, I mean, like you said, during season – the day I'm not pitching, the next day I'm doing the proper things to recover. Got a bullpen in the middle of the week, so I'm preparing for that. During season, it's pretty hard.
Have you golfed with Hap?
Yes, I have golfed with Hap.
Is he as good? Because you ask him, he's good. He's like, well, you know.
He's really good.
He's really good,
He's really good.
Hendricks is good too, though, isn't
Hendricks
he?
Hendricks is also really good. Hendricks doesn't play. Like, Kyle never plays. And I probably took Kyle golfing for the first time. He probably hadn't gone in a year. And he shot like a 80.
Well, I heard that Hendricks is one of these guys who is like, it's like my friend who's never played the banjo before. And he's like, oh, can I pick that up? Oh, is it tuned to open G? Okay. And then he's playing like Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Yeah.
That Hendricks is just one of those guys that he figures things out and things come naturally to him. And if you show him something, he can replicate it.
Exactly. And his dad was some form of pro golfer, yep, as he was growing
teaching
up.
Teaching pro, I believe.
Yeah, so he was dialed in at a young age, and I think he might have got tired of it, went to baseball, and then like now when he picks up a golf club, it's just like he just has it.
And he's relaxed about it now, because now there's no pressure. He's like, I think I might remember how to do some of this.
Yeah.
How good of a golfer are you?
I'm all right. I can drive it a long ways. If I haven't played in a while, my short game will leave me sometimes. But if I'm going consistently, I'm mid-80s, mid-90s. If I have a bad round, it's like mid-90s.
Okay.
That's perfect social golf.
Yeah.
Have a couple white claws.
I love
You're
it.
Not making anybody mad.
Yeah, exactly. You're just not holding up the game. I'm not embarrassing anybody.
That's Justin Steele, and he is our guest today. We've got one more segment with him here at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. We're here with our friends Bosch Power Tools, what workers deserve, and Phillips Chevrolet. Another segment with the Cubs left-handed ace when we return on The Score.
It's football, mister.
And it's baseball. It's whatever we want to talk about with Justin Steele, and we're having fun doing so here on a lovely Chicago, still technically summer day, not meteorologically, but
we're running out of time on that.
Soon to be fall. I know, it's fine. I'm ready.
You saw the sun's not going to set after 7 p.m. until March, I think is what it is. Like we've gotten past the point where the sun stays out past 7 p.m.
That's all right.
It's not great.
The Smalley's come back in April, so that's all I care about. We're at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, hanging out with Justin Steele. And I wanted to ask you, when I mentioned Ian Happ before, he talked about becoming a major leaguer and having John Lester as his sort of as his vet.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody who seemed and could look out for him, could help him understand what the routine was. You come up as a wide-eyed rook and you're looking around and just trying to make sense of, okay, this is my job mm-hmm. now. Who was that for you?
Definitely Kyle Hendricks. He was the veteran I continue to this day to lean on and ask questions, information, and whatnot. In 2020, I got called up for it was 10 days. I didn't actually pitch, but I was in the locker room and stuff, and I was around those guys, Lester, and I was up, spring training, big league camp and stuff. So I was around those guys. I was able to observe how they worked and stuff. So I learned a lot from that as well, just asking questions during bullpens and whatnot. But I would say definitely Kyle Hendricks has kind of been like that guy for me.
And how did you find a routine that made you comfortable? And you said, look, I know how to space out my day. And as a starting pitcher, you're weak.
Yep. For the days that I start, I just – when I'm going throughout my day, I treat it very normally. I'm talking to everybody. I'm not like...
You're not a weirdo.
Yeah, I'm not like tunnel...
Don't talk to me.
I'm not like tunnel vision throughout the entire day. I'm conversating, talking with everybody and whatnot. And I just... all I try to do is just make sure my body's ready to go out there and perform to the best of my ability. That's kind of all I look at. Just foam rolling, getting my arm ready and stuff. And then I just go out there and pitch. But next day, strictly recovery, doing everything to get my body feeling right in a good position. Sauna, cold tub, doing all kinds of stuff. The next day, somewhat of another recovery day, but I also get a lift in, try to regain some of the strength. And then the next day is a bullpen day, get off the mound, try to work on my craft a little bit, do some shoulder work. The following day is another kind of recovery, take it easy day, and then the next day is another start.
it's interesting. Part of recovery is what you intake food-wise.
Yep.
We were having a conversation yesterday about boiled peanuts. I was just curious, are you a boiled peanut fan, and when was the last time you had boiled peanuts?
I love boiled peanuts. It blew my mind when I left the South.
That wasn't a thing.
Like, boiled peanuts are not a thing everywhere else, and, like, it blew my mind. Like, people never even heard of it. It blew my mind.
So when was the last time you had some boiled peanuts?
It's probably been about a year. It's been since I've been home. Every gas station I go into back home has the boiled peanuts, Cajun style, and then you can just get a huge styrofoam cup, fill it up, and then you just, like, put it in your car. And like, eat, like, me and my dad used to do that. Like, we would go into a gas station, get our favorite drink, and we'd get a huge cup of boiled peanuts. And wherever we were driving, we'd just sit there and eat peanuts.
If not that, what is something you miss most about where you grew up, Lousdale, Mississippi?
It's the food that is in gas stations. Like,
literally,
you can go into any gas station back home and you will get a burger, like, food that is, like, restaurant level. Like, it's because, like, where I'm at, like, it's the middle of nowhere. Like, there's not, you know, there's not Outback or there's not anything. There's a Walmart. That's about it. But, like, you go into any gas station, there's a deli. They have, like, catfish, chicken, like, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, now I got Dan hungry. I'm sorry.
Well, that's no, remember, I went to college in the South and did a lot of driving. Most of my first jobs were doing, you know, minor league games in the South with a lot of this driving. And people can't believe the stories I tell when it would say boiled peanuts, you know, in 1 mile. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking like, where are they? There's a dirt road. And I'm thinking like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm alone. I could be killed. I don't know where to go. There's like literally a trailer and an oil drum, and I had to knock on the door, and the guy comes out with a big scoop and styrofoam cups, and he's like, that'll be $2.50. I'm like, great. Like, that guy could easily have murdered me, dragged me into the woods, and made lampshades out of my skin, but he chose not to on that day, and the boiled peanuts were outstanding.
I like that you did not let the possible outcome scare you from getting your boiled peanuts.
It was worth it.
It was too important.
It was worth it.
It was too important at that point. But that is, yeah, because, you know, Marshall was talking about it all the time. We were talking about how the first time I had fried catfish down there, I mentioned earlier in the show that I'm used to getting a catfish steak, like a soul food restaurant in Chicago. You go to Edna's or you go to Jerry's, and it's a steak. It's cross-cut catfish steak. And down there in Albany, Georgia, it was a whole fish, just gutted, skinned, otherwise just breaded and fried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know where to start.
He didn't understand, like, deboning the catfish.
Yeah.
No, I figured it out. Now I know.
Okay.
But I just never seen this. You want a cat? Here, you ordered a catfish. There it is. Eat it. Like,
not to go a hard turn, but we were talking a little bit in the break about fantasy football. Listen, my team's struggling. Apparently, you're 2-0. Mm-hmm. You're on the other end of the EM Hap spectrum, if you will, of where he is. How much fun do you have playing fantasy football? And is that like a thing, or is it just like, I play fantasy football on the side?
Fantasy football is like a thing for me. I'm pretty competitive when it comes to it.
You talk smack?
Oh, yeah. Talk a lot of smack.
Don't talk to Tommy Pham.
I'm very...
don't play with Tommy
Pham. I'm very on top of it. You know, waiver wires, just matchups, everything. I'm very tuned in with football and, like, making the right moves and everything. I'm pretty good. I've won quite a few championships.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Have you ever entered in some of these big tournaments or done Vegas stuff?
I won the Cubs League last year. I would love at some point to get into that realm of, like, going to Vegas.
What's stopping you?
He has a job.
I have a job.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you could go to Circa. There's proxies.
But they already done it. They did it, like, 2 weeks ago.
I know. We were there to help launch it.
Well, I was here.
But you could have had a price. Somebody could have done it for you.
At some point, I will get to that level.
But are you an active GM? Like, do you like to churn your roster?
Yes. I send trades all the time. I'm constantly trying to make my team better. Like, guys get in the clubhouse, like, get annoyed because, like, I'll ask their thoughts on a player, and I'm, like, trying to see where they're at.
On your level? Who's on that tier in your league? And then who's at the other? What I want to know is who's at the top of the activity and who's at the bottom of, like, yeah, I have a team. We'll see what happens.
Well, Happer is paired with who we call Big Rub. He's our massage guy.
Okay.
I hope.
His name is literally Big
Name
Rub.
His name is Aaron,
yeah,
but we call him
Big
Rub.
Okay. I understand why.
Making sure.
I'm glad you explained why you call him Big
yeah.
Rub.
They're partnered together on a team, so any time a team is part, there's partnership.
There's problems.
That's blood in the water for me. Like, there's not – I need – someone – what I'm seeing is two guys half invested. When I'm fully invested, that's
– You know what it's a lot like? It's a lot like a team – we see this all the time in college – with two quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks.
Yep.
So you have two owners. Do you really even have an owner in fantasy football?
That's kind of my point
and
of view
with it. And
you
attack that.
Like I've had guys ask if they wanted to partner with me, and I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I do not want anybody. Like, these are my decisions. Like, if I want to do something, you don't want to do it, I'm still going to do it. Like,
all right, rapid fire. Who's the biggest slob in the clubhouse?
Sounds like there's a lot of them. By the way, he sighed.
my locker is kind of messy. I'm also one of them people that like my room can be a mess, but I know where everything is.
I've heard that before.
I'm like,
I know that excuse.
But then somebody comes and cleans it up, and I'm like, where is everything?
Because you knew where everything was way it was.
Exactly. That's how I am. I'm very cluster brained, and like that's how.
But no one else is just like you go over there. It's like, come on, man.
We really don't. We have a clean clubhouse.
Okay. What about if you took a vote, you took a blind survey, and they say, who's the most annoying guy in the clubhouse? Like, if you could take one guy and just give him his own room, like,
you
love him dearly.
You're just asking me to call people out.
Just saying you love the guy like your little brother. You'd do anything for him in the world. But if he just had his own room, everybody would be pleased.
And he's got a name in his mind. Look at his face.
I really don't have a name.
Oh, man. I'll let you get the cop out. I'm going to ask a more positive question in the rapid fire genre.
If something comes to me, I'll just spit it out.
Okay.
Who's the most fashionable member of the clubhouse?
Okay.
Best dressed.
Fashionable. Honestly, Paredes, our Latin players bring it every day. They usually got some...
No days off.
Yeah, they have some like cool jeans and cool shirts, designer. I'm usually wearing like Salty Crew, like some fishing stuff.
I actually think Shota puts a lot of work into...
Dude, Shota is a bargain shopper. He likes... Like, he'll go to Zara and like get... Like,
he'll get the stuff, but he looks good in the stuff.
Yeah.
What... any Japanese word that you've learned from Shota that is interesting to you?
Choi. So, like, pitchers, we say very good. Like, very good. When you, like, execute a pitch, do something good, it's like, we say very good. And then when he does it, very good in Japanese is choi.
Choi.
So, just when he executes the pitch, we're just like, choi.
I had to look up.
So, a choi Uma.
Choi. Yeah, he's an Uma. I looked up.
What's Uma?
Horse.
Horse.
Because he's a horse. The guy's going to have 180 innings.
Very good horse.
He is
Choi Uma.
Choi Uma.
Uma like Thurman. That's why it was easier to remember.
There you go. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Really, really fun.
Thank you so much for this.
Thanks
for having me. Appreciate it.
That is Cubs lefty ace Justin Steele with us here on the Bernstein and Holmes Show. When we come back, we are going to be talking with Bears linebacker T.J. Edwards on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.